welcome to the latest episode of Your Wealth with Gemma Dell, a podcast series designed to help you create, grow, and protect your wealth.
Hi, and welcome to Your Wealth. I'm Gemma Dell, NABTRADE's Director of SMSF and Investor Behaviour. We're shifting gears a little bit in this episode after several weeks of market commentary and outlook to think about one of the biggest changes that occurs in most people's lives, the shift from work to retirement. The finance industry is very much oriented around managing people's money up to and during retirement or helping them to do it themselves, but we don't give a lot of thought or attention to the actual experience of being retired and how big a change it is for many people. My guest today, Phil Augustine, is a researcher and strategist in this field as a senior manager at MLC, and he's done an extraordinary amount of research about what it takes to successfully retire, particularly beyond the aspects of the financial. Phil, thanks so much for joining me.
Hi, Gemma. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Phil, can you tell me first just a bit about the research that you've undertaken in this field?
Sure. So our goal when we first began was to create a retirement hub, a destination where customers could go to get the information they needed together with the help, guidance and advice to help them plan for their retirement and also help them live in retirement. We started by talking to a large number of customers who were anywhere in the early stages of planning for retirement and those who are already retired.
So when you say customers, you mean people who are members of a super fund with you guys?
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. Not just with us, mm-hmm. any members. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it was more around understanding what were their motivations, the processes they undertook for those who'd already retired, what were their fears and passions about retirement as well. And we actually took that and created learnings from that so we could create the best customer experience for our recently launched retirement hub on MLC.com.
I see. So you look at all of us, I mean, that talking to people who've actually just retired is incredibly powerful. You also look at a lot of research from government, from other sort of industry bodies and so on. Can you tell me a bit about that as well? Because there's a huge variety of things you look at. It's fascinating.
I do. I look at all the industry bodies, such as ASFA, FSC. I look at FSC, as I mentioned, and Australian Health and Wellbeing, mm-hmm. Australian Health and Welfare, I beg your pardon. Mm-hmm. And that gives me a lot of insights as well, because they do a lot of studies themselves. I look at overseas research as well in this space to see how they're tackling the issue of aging. Because that's an issue that we've got here and we need to have to find better ways of actually addressing that.
Okay, so when you are looking at all of this research, and I think it's really interesting you talk about people's fears and passions when they approach retirement, because I think a lot of us have this idea in our heads, particularly when you're a decade or two away, like, God, how nice it will be on the day when, come Monday morning, I do not have to suit up. I can just go and do something else with my time.
Yeah.
Or if you don't suit up, whatever it is that you do, if you don't work on Mondays, whatever it might be, you know, that day that that's not something I have to do. Mm. I can just choose to be my own boss and live according to how I want to spend my time. But a lot of fear comes with that because, you know, work gives you structure and a lot of simple decisions to make when you get up in the morning, which is quite nice.
Yeah, it's the fear of the unknown, right? So a lot of people you talk to, they talk about, some people avoid it because they don't want to talk about planning for retirement because it scares them. Other people think it's too far away.
Yeah.
So then there's a lot of things, a lot of motivations that go into it as well. So for some people, they can't actually understand it because superannuation is quite perplexing for them. Mm. So it's about how do you start? Exactly. So it's, so it's about where do you start and what are the things that you need to consider? And so we try and help them with that. So for most people, it's not about the dollar or how much money they might need, although that's very important. It's about thinking about what type of lifestyle they want, right? And figuring out how they want to reach those, live that lifestyle in retirement, what their retirement goals might be, and then figuring out what that might cost.
Yeah.
Then that gives you a figure, the aspirational target of what you might need in retirement to meet those retirement goals.
So one of the things I find most appealing about the work that you're doing, and I think everyone would resonate with, but it's not something that's well articulated, is that finance, even though it's terrifying for people because it's the first time in your life you need to have, first of all, you probably ever get a lump sum, and then first time you ever need to make a lump sum last a really long time and provide for you when you don't have an income stream coming in anymore the way you would be used to with work. but it's much more than the financial. So there are these four pillars that you've worked on. Can you tell me?
Yeah, so research shows that there are four pillars of retirement happiness. There's financials, as you mentioned, there's relationships, there's health and well-being, and then the last one is purpose, staying relevant. And this is all about making sure when you think about retirement or the next phase of your life, you're thinking about it holistically. Mm. It's not just one element, because one element won't be enough. Mm. The other elements are just as important for your health and well-being, both emotionally, mentally, physically, and financially as well. Mm. So you need to think about that and you need to consider it. Talking to family and friends, talking to a financial advisor, talking to people who have just experienced it is a great way to start, because that helps you ease some of the fears. You can take some of the learnings, you can have a chat to some of your family and friends and talk about what are the key things for you when you want to transition to retirement.
So when you say people have a lot of fears, I think you're absolutely right, and you say that, you know, people are worried and concerned about this big transition. What are the things that they're worried about? What are the things that they're afraid of?
The two things that come to mind straight away is one is longevity risk. So one's got to do with financials. Mm. And it's all about, will I have enough to retire? Mm. Right? And will I have enough that'll last me my entire retirement? Now, this is becoming more and more perplexing for people because, as you know, the life expectancy is increasing in Australia. Mm. So you need that money to last longer.
But do people see their parents living into their 90s and go, oh God, there's no way my money's going to last that long? My grandmothers lived to over 100, the other one lived to 96. And I think, wow, that is a long time to make your money last.
But also now more and more people are actually retiring with some part of the mortgage owing. So yeah, that's another trend that we're starting to see, whereas people who retired 20, 30 years ago retired without a mortgage. Mm. Now we're actually seeing more and more people retire with some portion of their mortgage owing. Mm. The age pension entitlements are actually decreasing. Mm. So that all plays a part in it. The other thing is the impact of GFC still in people's minds. Right. That's had a significant impact both financially and mentally on people who were just about to retire, because that changed their retirement plans.
Yeah.
So that's still fresh in people's minds and can't be underestimated.
Okay, so you talked about two fears. One is longevity risk and this fear that I will not have enough financially to live on, either to have the lifestyle I want or any lifestyle at all. I'll just be broke and miserable. Or I have a mortgage that I can't pay off in retirement. So they're very real fears. What's the other big one for people?
The other fear is about boredom, right? So it's about having a purpose. Mm. So I take an example of my father-in-law, who retired just over 10 years ago. Mm. And when I asked him what his biggest fear was, he said avoiding boredom. Now, he'd been in a job for 42 jobs for about 45 years, his whole working life. Mm. And he had a purpose, he had social connections, and he felt valued, right? He felt like he had a purpose. Now that was taken away from him. So it was about how do you fill that void, and it can be a significant void, not just the financial aspects, but it's so important that we actually cater for the emotional and the mental aspects of it as well. And so it's all about having a plan in place where you can actually transition to retirement, and that transition word can take a number of different meanings.
It's really interesting. I think your point about staying relevant and having a purpose is so critical. Without putting too much of a gender focus on it, my understanding is men in particular find that more difficult.
Yes.
Because, first of all, they're more likely to transition from full-time work to full-time retirement than women who might have been working part-time, for example. But also this issue that they get a lot of their purpose from work, they get a lot of their social connections from work, they might not have a great social network outside their actual job. And obviously they get the financial stability as well. So you take that away and suddenly they might be feeling somewhat bereft.
That's true. And research also shows that as men get older, their social networks are a lot smaller than women in the same age bracket as well. And for a number of reasons, like a lot of women, especially mothers who've taken that time off, have actually created that social connections with other mothers perhaps. And they're used to staying at home during their family years while they're building their families and being the primary caretaker for most women. So they're used to that, whereas for men, it's actually a bigger adjustment to make.
I do think that point about women having to build connections earlier is really interesting, because if I speak from my own personal experience, to go from full-time work to maternity leave when I had my first child was a shock of a lifetime, to be like tootling around the middle of a Tuesday with nothing to do. I remember I had a child to look after, but much as I loved him at 3 months old, his conversation was really limited. And you find yourself going, God, I've got to make some friends, I've got to meet some people. And so much of my purpose and time was spent at work. It was a real education in terms of forcing yourself to get out there and change how you interact with the world. So as you say, many women are just forced to do that. You don't have a choice, either that or you stay at home and go mental with your baby. So you do that early, and then hopefully that will help you transition through. But for men, they're doing it later in life, and it may be a bit more complex.
Yeah, and the other thing to remember is that it can happen quite quickly for a lot of people. So a lot of people who retire today is due to unplanned life events as well. So by that I mean health issues, divorce, redundancy, death of a partner, and that can be the trigger. So for those who haven't planned already, this can be a shock. And the adjustment can be really, really difficult, and it can be stressful. And so you've got to remember that as well. So the earlier you start planning, the better you may be to cope with something like that. And it's also important to remember that because you've got all this time on your hands, if you've got social networks that you can fall back on and talk to, it makes it a lot easier. Research shows that people with stronger social connections find the transition to retirement a lot easier than those who don't have those stronger social connections, whether that be family or friends outside work as well. Because all retirees, they said, one of the biggest things they miss is the social connections at work.
Yeah.
Right. So if you can't replace that, then you've got a void that you need to fill, which makes it increasingly difficult.
That's a really interesting one. But you make the point, so some people are forced into retirement effectively, and they may not consider it retirement in the, you know, driving off into the sunset sense. They may consider it effectively a forced break from the workforce, and they kind of got turfed out of it, which is really challenging to deal with emotionally, I imagine. But many people plan for retirement, right? Or they dream about it. I think people dream about retirement. So what are people's primary motivators to actually retire? And I speak, if I use my father as an example, he's 68 and he has been talking about going part-time for I can't tell you how long. And he's still working more hours than any person I know. He's off to Uganda this weekend, you know, because that's what you do for work on a Sunday. And, you know, his idea of cutting back is ridiculous. He, you know, still working 60 hours a week. He can't, he talks about it, but it's not happening. You know, he just loves what he's doing too much. And I imagine there are many people who are in that phase. But for people who plan for retirement and dream about it, what is the thing that motivates them to go, now's the time?
Well, it depends on different people. So it depends actually on the individual, right? So we've spoken to people whose motivation was spending more time with family and friends and traveling. So that comes up. That's usually the big thing.
Okay.
Family, friends, grandchildren, spending more time with their grandchildren, and then traveling. So for the vast majority, that's their motivation. But for others we spoke to, it was just getting out of the rat race.
Just
couldn't do it. Some people we spoke to had a date. An actual date that they told us that this is the day I'm going to retire, whereas other people had a dollar figure in mind.
Right, okay.
And they were working towards it. So it just depends on what motivates you, what your personal circumstances are, what your family and friends and your circles there and your support network is. So it depends on the individual. But in terms of what you do once you retire, it's about having the right attitude, having a positive attitude, and it's about having a positive attitude about starting something new.
Yeah.
Something hasn't ended, but a new phase of your life is about to begin, and you're in control. So you can plan for all the things that you wanted to do that you never had the time to do. And what retirement does is gives you the flexibility to change those plans as and when you like.
One of the amusing things, which I imagine anyone who's listening to this has ever seen any retirement advertising, right? So any advertising for any retirement-related product or service will have an older couple, generally, very good-looking but with graying hair, wearing white linen on a boat. Generally, that is what our perception
or walking
of
hand in hand on the beach.
Oh, hand in hand on the beach. That's exactly. There are only two photographs. Yeah. They will be, you know, people of a similar ilk all wearing white linen. The man might have sort of chino trousers on. He won't have white linen trousers. It's probably going a bit far. But he'll have chino trousers. And then that's what they're doing. But people have a broader set of aspirations than just walking on the beach or owning a boat.
Absolutely. One of the biggest things that comes up is volunteering. So more and more people we speak to, we've spoken to, say volunteering is a key aspect of the retirement plans, and it's about giving back to community.
Yeah.
They feel really proud, which is fantastic. The other thing they do with volunteering is you get to meet so many new people, people with like-minded values and tastes. So a lot of people have told us they've made new friends when they've done volunteering, and there's a myriad. When I was doing research, I couldn't believe how many different volunteering agencies and places you can actually volunteer, from conservation to gardening to rural aid to teaching English to refugees. So there's basically any walk of life that you can help.
My mum did or does Meals on Wheels.
Yep.
And also works in charity shop.
Yeah.
Loves it. Unfortunately, she comes home with too much stuff from the charity shop. It's quite a dangerous charitable occupation, I think, working in a charity shop.
I can imagine.
People bring in all their stuff and you're like, well, that's rather nice. I think they're their biggest supporters, the people who work there. So do you think that reality does live up to people's expectations? Do you find from your research that people are generally happier than they expected to be in retirement, less happy than they expect to be about where they were? They don't know what to expect, so whatever happens is about right.
Once again, that depends. That varies on the individual. But for the majority of people we spoke with, the biggest thing was the adjustment, particularly early on. For those who adjusted, even the adjustment took 12 months or longer.
Right.
For those who had a positive attitude as well and had planned for it, even then it does take some time. So because all the planning in the world doesn't make the reality any different. So it does take time. But those who had planned always said they were in a better place because they'd set themselves goals.
Yeah.
And it wasn't about sitting at home and wondering how to fill those hours.
Yeah.
They were actually saying, right, this is something new. Mm. I'm going to start a new passion. One of the people we spoke to said he wanted to learn a new instrument. It can be as simple as, you know, improving your fitness. Traveling is another one, like I mentioned, that's popular on a lot of people's agendas. Mm. So it just depends. But the most important thing is to start.
Yeah.
Right? To start, have a positive attitude and just get going and enjoy it.
This is a complete sidebar, but because I was going, God, am I planning for retirement? I was like, yes, a little bit. We have a self-managed super fund, my husband and I, and it is called the Global Lux Lifestyle Fund because we wanted it to name it something quite aspirational for our retirement. And I wanted to call the corporate trustee something like, you know, the Waterfront Mansion or something like that, and he didn't go for that. so that's not what it's called. But, just simply having aspirations in mind obviously helps people make the transition because you have something to look forward to
Absolutely. But that's a mind shift, and that's so important because if you have that mind shift, everything else, it'll help with everything else. If you've got a positive attitude and you think about these things that you want to start, you'll find a way to work through them and actually achieve some of those goals and stay busy. That's the thing. A lot of people find that they don't stay busy in these times and they can fall into a less active lifestyle, and that's how they can get on a roll.
A bit of a downward spiral.
Yeah, a bit of a downward spiral, absolutely.
There are lots of sort of running jokes about women whose husbands retire, and the women are going insane within 3 months as he's kicking around the house, getting in the way, effectively, of the house that they've been managing all of these years.
Yeah.
You don't want to be in that situation.
No.
Well, your marriage will get better when you retire, not worse. You've talked about these four pillars. Each of them is so important independently, but clearly they interrelate. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So with financial, obviously, that's very, very important because that dictates, you know, what type of lifestyle you can afford. But with relationships, that's the second one. the important part is to make sure you've got those relationships in place. Mm. And it's so critical, whether that be personal relationships with your significant other, your family and friends, or social relationships with your network of friends outside your family and friends, your workmates that you keep. Research shows that those people with stronger relationships outside outside work generally transition to retirement a lot easier. But also, it's good for your mind and your body as well. So there's a lot of physical and mental benefits with having a strong social network.
Mm.
The other one is health and well-being. So health is paramount.
Mm.
Health, because it gives you back time.
Mm.
That's the most important thing. I mean, we talk about time, and you've got the rest of your life to live. But without being healthy and having health on your side, it limits your options, and it limits your planning. And it demotivates you as well.
Mm.
For a lot of people, it's a demotivator. But if you're healthy, it improves your mental spirit. It improves your mindset as well. So studies have shown that as well. So people who are generally active and healthy in their younger years continue that and continue to be a lot more positive and active in their older years as well.
So I think that point about time and health, your energy levels are so critical, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, your options are limited because of that.
Mm.
If you want to spend time with family, friends, you want to travel, it limits that.
Yeah, infinite wealth is no good to you.
Absolutely. If you're not taking care of yourself, absolutely. And the last one is obviously having a purpose. So making sure that once you've finished your working life, that there's the next chapter of your life ready to go.
You're not waiting, and
that becomes so important as well.
It's and I think you've made the point a few times, but it's worth your health allows you to have better quality relationships. Good quality relationships definitely impacts on your health. We know that. So if you hang around healthy people, you're more likely to be healthy. Framingham Heart Study and all those other things that show us that. You having a purpose gives you more motivation to do all of these things, and having some money in your pocket makes a massive difference. If you you always use the example, if you have some money, you can afford to pay a personal trainer if you are otherwise too lazy to go to the gym, which may or may not apply to some people in my house, perhaps, of whom I am one. Money helps you make decisions that you might not otherwise make.
Absolutely, but it's all down to planning as well, because the earlier you plan, the more options you give yourself, and the more time you give yourself to actually reach those goals. It's never too late to start planning. The earlier you start planning, the more time you give yourself. And by giving yourself more time, you're giving yourself more options.
So I have the best example of it's never too late to plan. My grandmother, as I said, lived to 102. She started weight training in her 90s. This is a true story. When she died at 102, there was an enormous weight set in her garage that someone had to come and remove because she was tiny as well. She was very frail, absolutely tiny, but she'd had a fall and they said, that's no good for you. You need to start training. So she went to a gym for elderly people, really elderly people. She was in her 90s. And then they said, you should start doing some weights at home. So she had a weight set, like proper machine, that with lat pull downs of the whole thing in her house that she was doing right through. And she lived to 102. So there you go. Never too late. If you can do it in your 90s, the rest of us can probably get out there and do something.
But also, it's an aging population.
Mm.
We have an aging population. Our life expectancies are increasing in Australia. So there'll be more and more activities coming up. This demographic's only going to get bigger. So you would think that there's going to be more social activities. There's going to be socially and economically, there are going to be more and more options for older Australians.
Yeah.
It has to be.
And attention given to this.
Older Australians will have a lot more opportunities going forward.
It's using another anecdote, actually, in that situation. My mother-in-law is amazing. She lives in Tasmania, and it's a small state, but it is the oldest state in Australia, is my understanding. South Australia is also very old. demographically just has an older population, and on average, and they provide an extraordinary number, for a very small population realistically, of fantastic resources for older people. So she goes to the university and all the kids learning physio do special activities for older people, and you know, and all of these different things. So she's always active. She's week is frantic, and we say, would you like to come and see the kids? And she's like, no, I'm very busy. And so far too busy to come and see you guys. You know, but she's got all of these things on, just engaging with activities in her local community. Most of them are free. It's amazing some of the things that you can get engaged in. It's fabulous.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all about doing your research. There are so many things that you can come across for older Australians that'll keep you busy. But it's about pursuing your passions, finding something that you're passionate about, and then making sure that obviously you're healthy to pursue it, and making sure that if you don't have that, you work towards it. Like you said, it's never too late to start getting healthy. It's never too late to start planning. And the more you plan, the better opportunities you'll give yourself to succeed.
So, Phil, these are a few insights. In the next podcast, we're going to actually get into some really specific things people can do to plan around this, because you keep saying planning and then everyone goes, well, what do you mean by that? So we're really practical examples, but I think just giving people an oversight that there are multiple elements to a successful retirement, and getting clear about what you're going to do in each of those areas makes a huge difference. Obviously, that preparation makes a big difference for people. You've prepared some really comprehensive content on this based on all of your research and many other things. Where can people go to find out more?
Sure. They can visit the MLC website, mlc.com.au, and click on the retirement tab. They'll find a lot more information about what we've just spoken about here, and hopefully that helps them start their journey.
Fantastic. Phil, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
As always, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. We hope it has been helpful in your journey to creating wealth. We always love to hear from you, so if you have any feedback or suggestions for future topics, please just email us at yourwealth@nab.com.au. I'm Gemma Dale. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Your Wealth with Gemma Dale. To stay up to date, please subscribe to this podcast series or email us at yourwealth@nab.com.au.
Please note that any advice provided in this podcast has been prepared without taking into account your objectives, financial circumstances, or needs. Before acting, you should consider the appropriateness of the information. To find out more, please visit nab.com.au.